Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Highbury Squad. Boy, has it been a rough few weeks. I feel like I said that last week, and Amanda and Kev probably said it the week before that and the week before that. So without further ado, allow me to welcome my podcast brother and sister, Amanda and Super Kevin Campbell, to this week's show. Hello, geezers and geezerettes.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, wherever you're listening from. I did nick that from another podcast, I will have to say. yes, hello. I'm happy because the season's over in the Premier League nearly for us. And I'll tell you what, if this had gone on any longer, we'd have got relegated the way our form's gone in the Premier League.
All right, calm down. Can we just get a quick hello from Casey, and then you can get introduce our guest, and then you can get on your little soapbox. Right. Hello, Susan.
Hi, everybody. great to be back with a full team and a nice new guest.
Exactly. And without further ado, let's introduce our new guest. He has been on our show before, and he's one of our favourite lads. He's living out here in LA. He's a writer, producer, director, all-round phenomenal filmmaker. Now he's also an author. If you love Dungeons and Dragons, you're going to want to check out my boy here's book. He'll tell you a little bit about it at the very end. But more important than any of those amazing things that he's done, including working closely with Lucasfilm over the years, for all you anoraks and nerds out there who love Star Wars, please welcome long-suffering Gooner, Mr. Kyle Newman.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Wow. Thank you for that introduction. I think the most personal thing to me right now is being a Gooner, being an Arsenal fan. And it's such a trying time. And every time you see or imagine relief on the horizon, it's an illusion. And that's, it's another season of illusion. And that's what's sad. More of the same. But I'll let you dictate the conversation. I definitely have. It's been a hard couple of weeks watching us plummet.
Exactly. It definitely has been. And one of the things that Amanda and I love to say is it's the hope that kills you. I was saying that to my Spurs cousin fans earlier in the season, and I'm just going to bite my tongue and not even address them until after this Champions League. But let's start with the immediate. We didn't make top four. And seeing as Kyle is our guest, that Brighton performance from Everton to Wolves to Crystal Palace to finally the debacle at the Emirates against Brighton, where do you think it went wrong? Was it the Everton selection, that midfield? Is that where it kind of started to spiral for us?
I think a real big turning point was Crystal Palace team selection. That was horrendous. I remember I woke up, I was sick to my stomach when I saw that lineup, and I was like, this is bad. You have to win. You have to breed a winning mentality. You have to create momentum. You play to win. You don't worry when there's six games left in the season about resting and rotating. You have to go for it. You don't let someone get sinus surgery when there's only 3 weeks left in the season. You muscle through it. And the tinkering killed us. I also think we lose a PR battle every year. We're going to lose it again this summer. All of our laundry is out to dry. Everyone sees it. We have the worst deal makers in town. We are a laughing stock in all the trades. We miss every opportunity to sell jerseys because we wait till the end of a transfer window. They don't tie it into shirt launches. Everything is done so poorly across the board. We're a classy club, but we're just out of touch with reality. And I think the other thing was all the public stuff going on with Ramsey and Ozil. It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. And that undermined players. And no matter what you say about those two, they are still our two best creative players out of the midfield, period. Ozil is more erratic, but at least he can give you something brilliant. And Ramsey is a leader. He's dynamic and he's relentless. And the way that went down, marginalizing their status, slipping them in and out of the team infrequently all through the winter, it ruined us after we had a 22 game unbeaten streak. There's just too much tinkering. And then you have a transfer window, which is staring you in the face. It's saying, this is what you need. Defensive cover. and he goes and brings in a featherweight who couldn't even get a game, you should have just taken a defender from a lower league on a bargain. I just don't get it. Across the board, he's made a lot of mistakes. It's a B-minus season. If we get blown out of the Europa final, it's going to drop to a C. Maybe if we win it, it might get up to a B+. I don't know. It's pretty poor. And it's, if you're going to fire Wenger and pay that much money, you have to do better. You can't just do more of the same. This was a Miguel Arteta sideways pass of the season.
I feel a little bit that that's a bit unfair on him. And I've always said, Carl, that I'll give him one or two seasons. He's come in after Wenger over 20 years. He's come into basically, I don't really want to be disrespectful, but not a great squad. I think that's more diplomatic than what I was going to say. And I think that we need to give him time. This is not his team. This is not his money yet. If he is given a decent transfer budget in the summer, then we go again for next season, and then it's his season, and then we have a right to start criticising. Look, you know, it's really, really tough because I really want to give him a chance. If you look at what Klopp did in his first season, I think he got eighth. So, and I also think it's a little bit unfair. If we do win the Europa, that cannot be a season classed as B. It's got to be a B+, nearly A-, because we haven't won a European trophy.
Sure.
Yeah, we haven't won a European trophy in God knows how long. And we really, really need this. We need, see, this is the thing. I put a tweet out the other day about this and people weren't getting my gist. We need to be in the Champions League for transfer funds and to attract the players. If we went into the Champions League now, we'd be annihilated every single game. That's not why. I'd like to be in the Europa League with Champions League money, if you get me. That's what we need. But I'm going to give him a chance. I wanted Wenger gone for about 5 or 6 years, I think, in the end. And I'm going to give Emery a chance because I think this isn't fair. I do question a couple of his, lineups. But there may be reasons for this that people don't know. Fatigue, slight injuries, whatever. You know, you can't legislate for Aubameyang missing in front of goal or Lacazette missing in the last seconds or whatever. It would have been different, wouldn't it, if Aubameyang would have scored at Tottenham in that last minute. We'd have been going for third this week. So it's ifs and buts. And I know I'm going to give him a chance. What do you think, Kev?
I agree with a lot of what you say. I think Unai Emery has made the best of a bad squad. He's tried to add a couple of players, but he needed to find out. It's his first season in the Premier League. He needed to find out what the Premier League was all about. So it's all fine looking from a distance, but when you're actually managing it and you realise how actual good the teams are and how competitive it is, you know, I think that's taken him a bit by surprise, especially down the stretch right here. I honestly believe Arsenal where they usually are. We've got more points than we did last season, but the majority of the players are still the same. So, you know, they say the first sign of madness is to do the same thing and expect to, with the same personnel, and expect to get a different result. You know, the personnel hasn't changed that much. So if we're really honest, if we would have got the top four like we could have done, it would have been a wonderful season. But we're still in with a shout. We're still in with a shout of qualifying for the Champions League. And I believe, Unai Emery has made mistakes. He's only made mistakes because he doesn't trust the players that he's got, I believe. I think if he had the correct personnel and the correct players, a lot of these players that are there now wouldn't be there.
I agree.
And
we would have already
qualified for the top four. So yeah, has he made mistakes? Yes, Unai Emery has made mistakes, but every manager makes mistakes. You know, the sign of a good players is that when a manager makes mistakes, the actual players get him out of it. But our squad isn't good enough to get him out of it.
Okay, Kev, I hear what you guys are saying, but I do think that Kyle brings up a couple of fundamental points, which is why I kind of want to lead back to the situation with Ramsey. The management of our overall business. Okay, half of it is, you know, Carl's in the film business, you can make the greatest movie of all time and the distribution company could screw the whole thing up and, you know, vice versa. You've been in situations too, Kev, where you've played and in good teams and bad teams. You know, when you're in a situation where a club is run well. Now, I'm not saying that our players, you know, they're in a great situation. They're playing for a great club, but it's run so badly. So when you, yes, Rambo wanted to go, wanted more money. Adios, amigos. Good luck to you. As far as I'm concerned, really appreciate what you did. But in order to build that team, and say what you want about Tottenham, the way Daniel Levy has created this identity, this business model around them, this an effective one, the way they're capitalizing commercially, there are a lot of things wrong with the club. So, Kyle, if we are in the Champions League, are we really going to attract those kinds of players that you, that Amanda and Kevin are talking about as well? Does it matter if we're a little bit broken behind the scenes? Does it fix what's going on the pitch?
It trepidatiously players will join us. I think there's going to be people that are going to, the people that will come because there's an increase in paycheck and a bigger platform to play on. You'll get some of those, a lower tier. You're not going to get the biggest players. No one's going to go, oh, Arsenal back in the Champions League. Sign me up. My name's Griezmann. I'm in. Never going to happen. You're not going to get any top players. We're not going to pay any top money, which is fine. I like our frugalness. I like our approach. For a long time, it's really worked under Wenger. I don't know if the Emery-Kroenke combination is a winning one. Time will tell. I actually think it's a dangerous one. I want to give Emery another couple of shots. I was so hopeful. I was the most hopeful person in all my chats, all my football chats. Everyone was like, man, why are you so hopeful? Up until that Palace game. And since then, it's just spiraled. And we are on severe relegation form, 4 points out of 24 at a key time in the season. That tells me that something is going wrong. They can't pull anything together. They can't even look. The performance at Brighton was okay. Had these players finished, like you said, had Aubameyang, Lacazette, had they put this stuff away when they had opportunities? Yes. Has Xhaka not completely lost the plot? That reminded me of that Aboué tackle back against Liverpool. Like, what was that? 10 years. Oh my God. Like, unnecessary. Costing us maybe £50 million. That tackle right there by Xhaka in the box. It's insane. It's kind of diabolical. But the general energy around the club publicly is Arsenal are a joke. Arsenal can't figure it out. Arsenal can't sign players. Arsenal don't have the money to do anything. Why is this public? You know, if you want to make a film correlation, it's the difference between Star Wars and Marvel. They're both Disney properties. Star Wars, you hear about all the problems, all the reshoots, everything going wrong with Star Wars. Marvel has the same reshoots and the same problems, but they keep a tight ship. And everyone's like, Marvel's perfect. Star Wars has got problems. Same parent company, same big brands. It's just how they run their business. And we are very naive about how we run our business, how and when we buy players, who we're attracting, and it doesn't yield that extra 5% in sport is everything. It's that extra 2%. That's the stuff that wins a race. And we lose that psychologically in all of our public business. We lose that in the way we approach games. It's just, we're a step off. Mm. And it all needs to get back in sync.
I think it's a big deal.
It's momentum and we're missing that. And every time it fiends to come back into our club identity, it gets blown apart. And look, is Ozil going to stay or not? Like, why was that the focus of it the whole winter? That was all I heard about. It's all it was. It was destabilizing. And I'm sure the players read this stuff. It wasn't like nothing positive was going on in the media about Arsenal.
Same thing was happening though with Hazard at Chelsea, and they seemed to manage to get top four. Right. So I think that we're weak mentally as well, that we don't allow ourselves to kind of, you know, overcome these things. Let me throw this to you guys a different way. There's news today that the technical director that we're looking to hire is former Arsenal player Adu. Now, I feel that if the club really were going to back Emery, and maybe I'm overthinking this, why didn't the Monchi situation come to fruition? Really, he wanted to go back to Sevilla. He has the opportunity to manage a situation like Arsenal with someone he's created previous success with, and that didn't happen. So Amanda, Kev, Kyle, is Adu a yes man for, you know, did Sven Mislintat have, you know, too much of an opinion? Is that the kind of club are we becoming? What do you make of the Adu situation today? Start off with Amanda.
Do you know what? I think there's so much hierarchy at our club. I wouldn't be surprised who comes in and who doesn't. And who knows if Eddie's going to be a yes man. We just don't know. I'm assuming that Steve Bold won't be there at the end of the season because he just doesn't do anything. I never even see him get off his chair anymore. I do like Emery's number two. I just don't know. You know what I'm like? I don't sort of talk about people that are coming into the club until they put a shirt on or they work in the coaching staff and we see how we go. I haven't got much to say on it, if I'm honest.
Well, maybe Super Kev does then.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kai will.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the person who's being hired has to have a clear remit of what the club want and where they're going. I don't get that impression Arsenal actually know where they're going or know what they're doing.
I get that.
They've never actually come out and said, look, we are going to be adding world-class players, or we're not going to go down the world-class players route. What we're going to do is we're going to bring players in who will have the right mentality, who have that toughness about them. And then you could actually see, right, Edu's played in the midfield in there. He knows what the club's all about. Like I do. But what is his remit? I don't know what his remit's going to be if he joins. On the Montre situation, that was a situation of the heart, really. You know, I think he wanted to go to Arsenal, but when Sevilla came in again, he's Spanish. You know, he just wanted to do that particular job. So, you know, his heart won over, ruled his head. But getting back to Arsenal, this is such a big summer coming up for Arsenal, because all of us are going to find out just where Stan Kroenke, this board, and where Unai Emery is going to take this football club. Because if Unai Emery settles for mediocre coming from the board, then we know we're going nowhere. Let's be honest.
I couldn't agree more. This is the summer that defines it. Last summer was a hybrid summer. It was a Frankenstein monster, half Wenger, half Emery, half corporate. This is the year. This is the transfer window that says everything. I don't know how Edu will do. I don't know much about him since he left the club. I liked him as a player. I thought he was always solid and committed. Hopefully that it transpires in who he is as a person. I know he loves the club. I think that's good. Kronk looks at this as stock. He doesn't love this club. He doesn't bring any passion to it like Roman Abramovich did. He's not a fan. He comes to two games a season. This is a way for him to bleed money out of the club and put it into his football stadium in the U.S. And he likes American sports, which is fine. But we're not going to have a passionate spender that's going to go a little above and beyond to get us to a place we belong. It's going to require everyone that loves this club that's over in England to elevate it. Hopefully someone like Edu will come in and take what's given to him and do more with it, because he does have a history with the club. He's not a total outsider. So there's something there. There's some affinity. And I think that's good, and we can build on that. This summer defines everything, though. Are we going to get more Squilaches? Are we going to get more Stepanovs? Are we going to get more, you know, it's like, what kind of defenders are we going to bring in? What is the quality of player? Are we going to go spend? And also, say what you want about Ozil, but if you lose Ozil and you lose Ramsey, where are the world-class players that someone's like, I'm going to play around this player? Because when Ozil's brilliant, he's brilliant. But, you know, when Xhaka's brilliant, it's maybe he scores one out of 50 goals from 35 yards out. Like, there's no flashes of brilliance with some of these players within the midfield. So they have to build around somebody. And if you're going to get rid of him and Ramsey, how are you going to replace that? That needs to be addressed first, because that's the fulcrum of the team. That's the direction of the team moving forward. That's the hope that we're talking about. And you have to instill that hope back. That's how you're going to sell jerseys. You're going to rally people. You're going to also keep players. We have two great strikers right now. I think they're fantastic. I get into arguments with people that can't understand why we would play with two strikers considering our system and our resources, but they're two of the better players at the club. They have a great strike rate. There's actual chemistry and energy between them. So I can see him building off of that. But the games where we look the most apathetic are the games where we're disjointed, where we don't have something connecting to them. And he does have to design a system and bring in personnel that connect, first and foremost. And I think he has to look at a defense like Koscielny's got maybe 1 year left in him. Monreal, is probably out. Lichtsteiner is not going to last. Jenkinson's not the answer. I just don't know. There's so many, and obviously we have to get rid of El Nene. We have to get rid of Mustafi. Mkhitaryan was a failed experiment. I think he's like the man with no game. I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know who's worse, Sanchez or him, but they both
no,
just
he
like,
lost his mojo, didn't he?
Both
he
of them. Like let's trade clubs and trade souls and lose it all. It was a bad deal for everybody.
It's like a really bad version of Face Off, you know, where it all went wrong. Well, you know, the culling has begun.
We need another keeper.
You mentioned Lichtsteiner. He's gone already. Yeah. He was told Welbeck too. And you bring up some of the players I think most Arsenal fans want to see leave the club. But what is going to be, Amanda, realistic? Yes. Knowing that we have what I think they gave him a budget of 45 million, which is a joke in itself. You know, in terms of Mkhitaryan, absolutely clear that 180 grand a week. But what is realistic, Amanda? Who do you want to see absolutely out of the club this summer?
Okay, I'm going to do it the opposite way. Okay, I'm going to tell you who I think should stay. All right? And this is my list, because this is what I think. For me, these are definites that have to stay. Leno, Lacazette, Aubameyang, Torreira, Bellerin, Rob Holding, Koscielny, but as a squad player, Sokratis, I'm torn on. I think he's got potential, but I think he's like a loose cannon. And also the young ones. I'm not talking here like Eddie Nketiah or any of that. They should stay, yeah. The rest can all do one, as far as I'm concerned. I can't see anyone else that I want in my team. So I'm going to throw it out there. Soph, go on. So out of everyone I've said, is there anyone I've missed out that you would keep?
I would only keep players like, you didn't mention Monreal. Here's the problem I have. Koscielny and Bellerin are the history of the club right now, you guys. Once Ramsey's gone, he was 11 years at the club. And when I think one of the things Carl was talking about is, what's our identity? Who are we going to build this team around? What is the nucleus in that dressing room? Kevin Campbell, you are an ex-player. How important is that dressing room to have leaders, people that you can identify with the club? And I think if we can identify those, I would love to know what.
Okay,
Kev,
sorry, let me just before
that part.
Before Kev says anything, I missed out Ozil. He was at the top of my list and I missed it. So I would keep Ozil, although I know a few wouldn't. Go on, Kev.
Regarding the leaders, well, don't really see much leaders at the club right now. Although there's five captains. I don't see where the leaders are. I think Sokratis.
No.
He's a damn good player. And I think thoroughly deserved his player of the season. Cause I think he's been very good, but he leads by example probably, but we're talking about leader. We're talking about a leader who commands respect in the football club on and off the pitch. He's a leader of men on the pitch. I don't see it. I think it's time to not get sentimental. And I think it's time to be absolutely ruthless. It's up to me. Ozzy wouldn't be there. Xhaka wouldn't be there. I'd rip it all up. Because as far as I'm concerned, they just haven't performed when they're supposed to. Now, Mesut Ozil, on his day, he is superb. But the amount of days he has now isn't a lot. I'd build that team around the front two. We need probably another striker or two. And I would build around, not that they're big name players, but hungry players, players who want to fight and have that tough mentality. I think that's what we lack in abundance. So that's what I would do. I would forget the names on the back of the shirt. I'd see what's on the front in the heart situation. They need heart. They need toughness. They need tenacity. They need hunger. I'd buy players like that. Get them in that squad. Stiffen us as a whole squad. And then we can go from there. Because that front two will get us goals no matter what.
Agree.
And
actually.
I would say a couple. The only thing is, and I totally agree with you, I think the only case for Ozil, and it depends on how much of how much tearing it up we're going to do. If we're willing to tear it up, I would say clean house, get rid of him as well. But if we're only going to go halfway, I think he's still a player we could keep that will be useful. And if we bring in the right personnel around him, he plays kind of to the level and the energy and the psyche of the club, which is dangerous. But if we get rid of all these other players and him, we are definitely not replacing. I mean, we're not going to replace someone with, even if he's not at the pedigree he was, we're not going to replace him with anybody remotely of the same level. So he, for one more season, he might be worth keeping in this transition as we get rid of players all around him or that orbit his circle. I would love to see players that are, have experience in England. I'm tired of dipping into other markets and then saying they need 6 to 8 months to adapt. Guess what? You're a player. You're fit. Like a couple of months. Also, buy them early. Why do we buy them on August 30th in the middle of a season and wonder why it takes them weeks to adapt? Like, spend the money early, get the most out of your investment, sell the shirts, get players excited, make it feel like it's a real buy that you're building a team around as opposed to a Hail Mary bargain buy. Everything changes the psychology. It's the when you do things and the how you do things. The same personnel. So, look, Koscielny, Socrates, I think we have to keep Bellerin. Holding for sure. Monreal just for experience, even though he's probably going to be more peripheral. Leno, great. We need another keeper though. Iwobi, I think he plays to the level of the team. He's had some good games and some truly awful. Lacazette, Aubameyang, I think Torreira. I would like to see, you know, Maitland-Niles, Nelson, Rowe get some more time. I think they're going to have to capitalize on some of those younger players. But Madison, Frazier, Zaha, those type of players that you're going to have to pay a little bit for, but you're going to get a product that works, that you've seen work in this league. And you can't say, oh, there's a acclimation period and there's a time to settle in. And, you know, are they fit for the league? They're fit for the league. You spend the money, you pay a little extra because you know they work. You know they're going to fit in and you know they have a mentality that's combative and will work in this league. That's what you spend that extra 20% on rather than dipping into a league and you have to worry about, are they going to adapt to England and the language? Like, this is not a summer to take any more risks. This is a summer to say, we need these three things. If my 10-year-old niece is telling me the same stuff that these managers can't figure out, that Kroenke can't figure out, that's a problem. Every Arsenal fan in the world knows exactly what we need, and we don't want to do it. We knew what we needed in January, and we brought in Denis Suarez. Like, it's mind-boggling.
Kyle, I think you've been an Arsenal. How long have you been an Arsenal fan for, by the way?
Since like 94, I'd say intensely 95.
So you know that we behave in this way for the last 20 years, the way we acted with players running down contracts and then dictating to the club, because that's what I think has happened to Ramsey. As much as I'm distraught, we should have sold him.
It's been bad. Watching players like Anelka, Adebayor, watching players like Nasri, even Fabregas, we are terrible with our contracts. It's part of our heritage.
Exactly, and that is exactly what's got to change. You know, we need to go for players that want, as Kev said, you know, you want to heart, play for the club, want to play, want to win, you know, maybe give some of the kids a chance. I think so. I think we should at Burnley now because it doesn't mean anything. It's really interesting. I mean, we were actually quite a little bit fed up, but yet we are in the semi-final on Thursday night and we need to positive vibes, I think, because anything could happen in that match and we could end up in a final, which is so bizarre considering our form. But going back to the players and stuff and how they treated Danny Welbeck says it all, really, to be honest. And all I'll say is I want Emery to be given the chance to buy his own players and know his own system and tactics and what he wants. I used to really love when he substituted early on. But I think it's becoming now where I don't know if half the players know what's going on if he does that at halftime. I didn't like the fact that Wenger did a substitute at 69 minutes every game. It didn't suit me. I just hated it.
Every game
was 69 minutes, basically, unless there was an injury, of course. But I did like the fact that if something went wrong, Emery would change it. But I do feel in the last three or four matches, I don't know what's gone wrong. I can't pinpoint why these players are playing so appalling, yet beat Valencia and Napoli. It just is bizarre. They should have wanted to get in the top four that way. They should have wanted much more than I saw and how they play. Against Brighton, it was pathetic. So it's in with the new, out with the old, and let's see what happens during the summer. But I just think...
Amanda.
Go on.
Amanda. Do you remember when Brighton equalised? They turned up the heat on Brighton.
Yep.
But they should have turned the heat up from Brighton from the start.
To be fair... Go on,
Kev. This is the problem. They've had that many chances to get it right.
Yeah, I know.
As players. So when you went, all right, you're at home and you're playing Brighton. They should have turned that heat up on Brighton from the off. Brighton shouldn't even have been able to get out of their half.
Kev, I tweeted in the first 5 minutes that this is the best 5 minutes I've seen in weeks in a Premier League. We played brilliant. And then it just died. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. It was just, it was like, how can you be scared of Brighton? No disrespect. At the Emirates, playing for a top four place, we should have turned them over. Easy, turned them over.
Big time.
They were safe, right?
Yeah, the psychology was, I was rooting for Palace to win that Cardiff game because it meant Brighton were going in safe.
Yes, we all did.
A little less edge. And everything was set up for us to win. Spurs lost. The mentality, it was all there for the taking. And that does come down to Emery because the players, he has to say, start at this level. He has to rev it up.
No, but he's shown up. He's made us so much better in bigger debt. Listen, we can't have our cake and eat it too. I get what you guys are saying, right? Listen, this is the same team that beat Tottenham 4-2 at the Emirates. This is the same team that almost did them twice in a year where they're supposedly shining because they're in the semi-final of the Champions League. Champions and Europa League shows how hard playing in the Premier League is and the level of which some teams are at in the Premier League. Emery has taken this team through to a semi-final. This is his speed. Europa League is probably our speed this season. This is where we're supposed to be. It's a competition. He has the pedigree and knows how to win. The players trust him in Europa League. Now, there's something I agree with Amanda that's been happening with the tinkering on a Claudio Ranieri level and beyond since the Everton game, and it's disrupted the squad. Kev, I thought you were going to go here with this comment just previously when you were saying that when Brighton scored, we then went on a little bit of a run and he made substitutions that disrupted our turning the pressure on. So I think in those moments in the Premier League, he's made a mistake. I interviewed Pep Guardiola 2 seasons ago where he fell and faltered in the first year of the Premier League, the first time he never won a trophy as a manager. And so it is not easy managing in this league. And when you inherit a broken team and players that mentally have been very weak over 2 or 3 seasons and new players are coming in and you're trying to build a new culture, not easy. Let's judge him. I think Arsenal fans are going a bit crazy. Let's judge him after we know whether or not we've made it into the semi, into the final. And I tell you something, even getting to the semi, we were punching above our weight in the Premier League. That run we went on was a myth. And this is who we are.
And no, I think we not, just have to no. accept that.
Yes,
no,
it is.
It's not a myth. You don't not lose for 20-odd games as a myth. And it wasn't luck. We were on a good run. They had the confidence.
You know what? Look back on some of those games.
Yes, and we won them or we didn't lose. So confidence is a massive thing in football. Kevin will tell you that. Our confidence is shot. We do not have a captain on that pitch that is dictating what's going on. We've got weak and feeble players. They're all just weak mentally. And
they're in the semi-final of the Europa
League.
Yes,
I know. It doesn't make sense, does it?
Because Aaron Ramsey got us there.
Yeah,
because of Aaron Ramsey. The minute he was gone from the team, we deflated.
Oh, we are going to miss him, Kyle.
A shadow team without that man on the pitch. And when we started to marginalize his influence through the winter and started to sit him, I was like, what is going on? He was like starting other players over him. That's when we went on a downturn of form as well. It's staring us in the face. What worse? We're a fragile bunch of players. it's their relationship with confidence is tenuous. And that's what he has to manage. That is his job, is to say, I have some flighty, insecure players. My main goal right here is to organize them, because we when they're working, we came from behind in all those games. We have the maybe the worst defensive year in how many years? 50, 20 years? Like the goals we've given up, the games we've had to come from behind in unnecessarily. And they do have the ability to do that, but it is a finicky, confidence-based team. And that's what he has to manage. And losing Ramsey, losing a leader on the pitch, losing that example was crippling. And if that is not replaced, it doesn't matter how many other good people he promotes, whatever, that you need that thing that galvanizes a team. And we can't just say, well, we have six other good players. If there's not that one thing that's going to energize and lead, you get this thing where everyone just collapses after a goal goes in. That's I don't know how you pay for that again. I don't know where you find that. How we're going to get that type of player.
Kev, do you agree about the playing in the Premier League versus Europa League? Yeah, I mean, we still beat Valencia 3-1 without Rambo. He got injured in the away game at Napoli. Yeah. And we've definitely missed him in the league. I agree with Carl and Amanda wholeheartedly on that. No doubt about it. But don't you feel like there's it's two different sides?
Almost? Yeah, it's the Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it? It is Jekyll and Hyde. In the Europa League, we seem to be more comfortable playing in that environment. You know, when everyone wanted to avoid Napoli, and I think we beat them pretty convincingly, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then we get Valencia, which is probably as tough a draw in the semi as we could have got. We beat them pretty comfortably at home. Obviously, Aubameyang scoring at the end gave us a little bit of leeway. But I expect us to go to Valencia and score. I really do. And then we really have to capitulate if we're going to not going to make the final. So I'm pretty confident about that one. But, you know, I just think, look, Ramsey's been in and out this season. Aubameyang and Lacazette have been put on the bench and haven't been playing regularly for most of the early part of the season. So Unai Emery's tinkering has worked. And, you know, it's just a matter of, look, Arsenal just have to get their heads together and finish this thing strong now. There's only potentially two or three games left. So there's no resting players anymore. The best team has to play. And we've got to get Aubameyang and Lacazette some opportunities to score. Because I believe if we get some opportunities to score, we will win these games. I really do.
Do you think we're going to be sentimental and play Czech in the final if we make it, or are we going to put Leno in, who is a better keeper?
I think Czech's going to play because he's played.
Czech will play
because he's played every round.
I know, and he will. But you got to win a trophy. You got to get that money, the Champions League money, and you got to say if this guy's 2% better and a little quicker, you got to play those odds. We can't be sentimental.
But he's been Europa. But that's the point of having a squad. He's not done a bad job. In fact, against Valencia, he saved us a couple of times, right? I get what you're saying. I totally do. I have a quick one for you guys before we get to some predictions of this Valencia game. Do you think more Arsenal fans should have stayed behind for the Rambo thing? Because I tell you, I love him. Go on then.
Yes, yes, and yes. Now, I wasn't able to go Sunday, so my last game was Valencia. But I was so disgusted. That was the reason I couldn't go, because my family were staying behind and I had to get back for my dad's birthday. So I had no choice. It was either leave early, really early, which would have been ridiculous, or, you know, miss my dad and I can't do that. And I was absolutely disgusted at that. I said to my cousin, where is everyone? Why are people leaving? What are you rushing for on a Sunday evening? Bank holiday? Yeah. Why are you rushing? Oh, thousands and thousands left. Ramsey has been one of their best players for years. And they do that. I've got no respect for people like that. I'm sorry. Really haven't. I felt bad for him.
What do you think, Kyle?
Well, it's a testament to, again, how mismanaged things are with our PR. I think the club did because they're so cheap. they did a PR thing on him and assassinated him to a lot of fans. They made him feel like a mercenary. So people are like, wait, does he really care? Oh, I should have went. Maybe I should have stayed. He cried. Like, we sabotaged him to save some money. And that's a guy who's been with us for so long. He's grown up in this club. And look, does he want more money? Yes. Does he earn more? Should he earn more money comparable to what we overpaid Ozil? Probably yes. But then a gun was to our head, and, you know, gun was to Emery's head, and he had to rethink how his future budget. And he has to say, well, if I don't make it here, I only have 40 million. It's got to come from somewhere. They all conspired to character assassinate Aaron Ramsey in the press. And then consequently, fans didn't stay behind because they're like, oh, he's a mercenary. That's what happened.
Kev, do you agree with Kyle? I think it's an interesting angle in terms of how fans perceived it at the end.
No, I don't. I think go back 2 years. Aaron Ramsey's on a contract. Once you get to 2 years left of your contract, the negotiation should have already started. So by the time he gets to 18 months, he signs a new contract.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, he's sold.
Yep.
It's simple as that.
Me and Kev.
That's the old regime.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's the old regime. Okay. So now Unai Emery comes into a very difficult situation. He's got a player of Aaron Ramsey's quality who, let's be honest, has suffered with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But Aaron Ramsey seems to be the one player who actually excelled kind of in what Unai Emery wanted him to do because he's a pretty flexible player. So here we go. Aaron Ramsey didn't want to stay. He knew he's got 1 year left, so he's going to test the free agency market. But he kept on coming out with, you know, the idea was Aaron Ramsey's negotiating and da-da-da. Was a contract actually taken off the table, etc.? I don't think Aaron Ramsey was ever going to stay, because if he was going to stay, he would have signed. Plain and simple. But that's no disrespect to Aaron Ramsey. He's got to do what's right for him. But Arsenal Football Club has been mismanaged on the transfers for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years now. It's been atrocious. So for Ozil to run his contract down and Sanchez to run their contract down and Jack Wilshere to run his contract down, Welbeck to run his contract down, Ramsey to run his contract. I mean, that's, if you'd have sold all five of those players a couple of years ago, you would have brought in way over 100 million quid.
But this is not Ramsey's fault. This is what they've been doing across the board on a business level. And Ramsey's just seeing this is what's happening with every player. Also, he's making his decision in the dark. He knows Wenger might leave. There's been rumors of that, like, for 2 years. He feels the tone changing. Who's going to replace him? What is their transfer budget? This new owner is cheap as hell. What are the type of players he's going to be surrounded with? It's his last big contract. There are a lot of variables. It wasn't like Wenger was staying and Wenger was the one pushing him to do it. He knew Wenger was leaving like a year and a half ago. So,
Kyle,
I don't know.
Trust me. Once Aaron Ramsey gets to a year left, remember, in 6 months, he could speak to anybody outside of England.
Which he did.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah.
And the contract was sorted pretty quickly. Okay. He knew that he wanted to be able to get to the point where he could speak to whoever. And that's what happened. He got there. And I'm not saying it's his fault at all. Yeah. He's got the right to do that as a footballer. But as a football club, Arsenal can never let a player who has a value on him, like Ramsey, run his contract down or Sanchez.
100% agree. We've done that way too many times. And that's what I'm talking about is the poor, and it reflects on our club, the way it's talked about and the way fans perceive it. It reflects on their optimism. It reflects on how much money they're spending on products and merchandise, how much they're spreading the joy of Arsenal. You don't want to spread a disease. You don't want to spread a virus. You don't want to infect some new young kid with the Arsenal virus and be like, suffer for the next 25 years like I did. You want them to like step into some positivity, and that all is how we do business and how we present ourselves as a club. And it has been absolute naive garbage. Like,
yep,
we lose the PR battle every summer. So either you sign early and you tie these contracts to Adidas shirts. The day you launch, you got to get two new players out there wearing those shirts, selling those t-shirts. making that extra 10, 12 million pounds. All of that stuff is key to how we're going to spend money this summer. They can be naive and they can start planning now, or they can go bargain trash bin dive on August 30th.
Right. Well said, Kyle. Well said, mate. Now, we still do have a chance to win a trophy.
We do.
Okay. It is out there. And I tell you, if we cock this up, I think we'll all fly. I've got a spaceship ready for Pluto. I'm just saying, if anyone wants a ride,
I'm
more than happy to give you a ride. You guys have to answer this in 10 seconds before I get to predictions. Who's in a worse position as a club now? 10 seconds only each. Manchester United or Amanda?
Manchester United are worse than, I think they're worse than us, if I'm honest.
Kev?
I think it's pretty level. I really do.
Kyle?
I think Manchester United just ekes it because they put in a manager too prematurely based on nostalgia.
Yeah. I think based on their recent success versus ours in Premier League, I think Manchester United too. They've spent a lot of money. Okay, predictions. Again, 20 seconds. Valencia. This is it, people. As Macaulay Culkin said in Home Alone, this is it. Don't get scared now. Kyle, what's your prediction?
I think we'll get through. I'm envisioning an early goal to kind of kill it early. So I'm hoping.
Amanda.
I think we'll get through.
Oh, you got to give us a score. You got to give us a score, Kyle.
I say we score early and they get one late and we still get through with a 4-2 aggregate.
I think we'll lose the game 2-1, but I think we'll go through.
Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
1-1. It's going to be 1-0. We draw, we go through. It's going to be a very good defensive performance, which is going to shock us all.
Yes.
Sorry. It's not April Fool's Day, is it?
Thanks, Amanda. Thank you.
Brilliant. Oh, I love Casey so much.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go for a 2-2. I think
we need to
do,
not
easy to score against.
We need to do – what do we think is going to happen in the Champions League? Because as we're recording now, which is Tuesday night, we've got Barca going to Liverpool. You got Ajax going to Tottenham going to Ajax tomorrow.
What was your Liverpool tweet about, by the way, Missy?
Right.
Feeling sorry for them?
No, I didn't say I felt sorry for them. I said you've got to admire them. For a team to hit 95, 96 points or whatever they've got and not to win it, all I was saying was you got to admire them. And don't come at me with all the VAR stuff, because we've had goals given that were offside and stuff like that and penalties. Look at Monreal, penalties that we shouldn't have been given. It's not what I'm saying, okay? All I'm saying is this Premier League should be admired for what's happening. First of all, the top four was going to the last week. It's not really now, is it? The top two, it's going to the last game. It could go to the last minute. That's just exciting. City ran away with it last year. The year before or whatever. So I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. I'm still predicting.
It was a loving with Liverpool.
It wasn't a loving. I've got friends.
It was from a bit.
You know, Kev, I've got loads of Scouse mates. I've got loads of City mates. I'm neutral. I don't care who wins. Okay. I'm just saying.
Neutral.
I am neutral. You know I am. I don't have a problem with Liverpool. I love the way their fans are, because they make me laugh at how insular they are, which is brilliant. Why not? Let them be like that. I've got friends going to Anfield tonight. I've got friends that will be at City on Sunday and when they go to Brighton. So I am neutral. I don't particularly care who wins it. But I like Jurgen Klopp, and I do. I like the Liverpool player. I like how they play. I like the atmosphere. I like it all. But
were you at Anfield in 89 supporting Liverpool or Arsenal? I'm just asking for a friend. I'm not sure now. Is this another face-off situation? Jesus Christ, what's going on here?
I'm just saying, you can't not admire a team. The only other team I wouldn't admire would be Tottenham. But I'm just saying, anyone that hits 95 points and doesn't win it, come on. I'm just saying, you just need to admire what they've done to keep up with City. That's all.
Yeah, but why don't you do that when it's over? Do it when it's over.
Doing it when it's over, because we know, to be fair, it's in City's
hands. Don't do it with one game to go.
City's hands, and you know that, Kev, right? They're going away to Brighton. If they don't win at Brighton, they don't bloody deserve to win the league, do they? So at the end of the day, I just
tough
feel...
Tough team to play against Brighton.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, it's for us. I just feel that... I'm just saying, that was all I was making a... And you are... I understand why you're like that. You're an ex-toffee. I do get it. And I've got plenty of Everton friends as well. I was just saying, admire the fact they've kept up the pace. And when they did have 7 or 8 points clear and then they lost that, they still kept going. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But who else you going to admire then, Amanda? Which other team you going to admire? Because there must be other
Wolves,
teams that you admire.
Wolves. I admire Wolves for what they've done there.
You didn't
there.
Mention them, though, did
because
you?
Because I'm talking about the top two. They're not in the top two,
yeah,
Kev.
This is the whole problem
whatever.
People have with you.
I don't care what people have with
me. It's a loving.
I like good football. I will be watching Barcelona tonight in awe of Messi. I will be watching Ajax tomorrow night, hoping they get 84 goals.
5-3 Liverpool.
What? I didn't hear what you said. You cut out.
I was going to say 5-3 Liverpool. No.
Hey,
don't you start. Before we go,
Jesus.
You know. Kyle, are you in camp admire or loathe Liverpool? I mean, by the way, let's not forget Super Kevin Campbell did play for the Toffees. I mean, Amanda, you know, go
exactly.
eat.
Exactly. That's why I understand it. Saying. But he had a
I have
at
a
me.
Soft spot for Everton. I have no love for Liverpool. I probably have less love for City and their manufactured success. I saw somebody say something that said, that's a vintage City performance. I said, no, vintage City is Sean Goeder in front of the goal, missing the penalty.
Feed the goat.
Like, what are we talking about here? That's, you can't say it's vintage if you purchased it in the past 8 years. Vintage has like a history to it. So I don't like supporting Moneyball, but that's what the Premier League is. It's a hard toss. It's like, do I want to get stabbed in the thigh or get shot in the arm? Maybe the Liverpool knife in the leg is better than the City winning. They both played well. Did Messi get suspended for punching someone in the head before his free kick or no? That just got glossed over by.
Again, that's, yeah, there's a lot of things that go on, but quickly.
He did punch him.
Quickly.
That went to a petition.
Yeah, whatever.
And that free kick was a deflection, by the way.
Oh, it was beautiful free kick. Just...
Oh my God, it's a deflection.
Anyway, can I just say we forgot that we need to do the Burnley predictions. Not that it matters, but I actually think we'll
8-0.
Win 5-0. And it won't make any difference because Tottenham will score about six goals.
What happens if Tottenham lose 3-0 and we win 5-0?
It goes on goals scored because they're 8 ahead of us at the moment, aren't they? Or 7?
Isn't it goal difference?
Okay, let's not waste our time. Let's not waste our time.
All right, fine.
You know it's not going to happen.
Burnley predictions, 10 seconds. Fine, whatever.
Burnley, we're going to win 5-0.
Kyle?
Burnley 2-0. We're going to win.
Draw. It's going to be a draw.
A draw.
Yeah, we ain't going to do nothing. Not
there's no pressure on us. That's the difference. I mean, can you imagine if Tottenham were 4-0 down at half time, though? That would be funny. It's not going to happen. But anyway,
no,
I cannot
we're
talk
gonna
about.
We're going to lose 3-1.
Can't talk about.
We'll lose 3-1.
We cannot talk about Ajax. Oh, sorry. You're going to say we're losing 3-1 at Burnley. Oh, my God. You're full of the joys today,
yes.
Aren't you? No, we're not. We're going to win. We're not talking about Ajax. Because we can't. We just can't. I need the spaceship if that happens.
No, we can't.
Ajax,
no,
Ajax,
no, no.
Ajax.
Ajax.
And we are the biggest Listen. Ajax supporters, aren't we?
I've always
Listen
loved
to
them.
What's happened to Arsenal fans. Look at us, just praying that Tottenham lose a game to make our season wondrous. How far we've
I want to ask a question here. This is really controversial. And you've just got to say, you've got to answer it very quickly because we haven't got long. Right, Kev, I'm going to ask you. Arsenal lose the Europa. Arsenal win the Europa and Tottenham win the Champions League. Or if we lose it, they lose the Champions League final. What are you going to take?
I don't get what you're saying,
okay.
Dear love.
So if Arsenal...
I'll ask it for you.
Jeez. You said Arsenal win the Europa and Tottenham win the Champions League.
I mean, she bastardized it.
What question is that?
Great question. Totally bastardized in the delivery. Let's just say.
Go on, sis. You do it.
Would you rather Arsenal lost the Europa League final if it meant Tottenham not winning the Champions League?
Exactly. Like,
sacrifice it all just so they don't win
100%. Right. Nobody's winning, Jack.
Who wants? I mean, seriously, I would. I wouldn't want to win it.
But it gets us in the Champions League. So
no, it doesn't matter.
How does it if we lose?
No, Kevin. I don't think you understand. Right.
No, if we won, we'd be in the Champions League. But what's the point in that if Tottenham end up holding the European Cup?
Let's ask Kyle.
I would prefer we both suffer.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that.
You know, the reason being is it will never, ever, ever hear the end of it.
But,
period.
Kyle, take it, playing devil's advocate. Okay, and I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, he's
here.
Answered it.
No, to all of you. Because we get accused and we accuse Tottenham fans of hating our club more than loving their own. Doesn't that mean the same for us, that we hate them more than we love us? Because surely we should want to win a European trophy. To be fair, and I was
surely you should never ask a question.
No.
But the boost of it isn't enough. It's we're gonna get into Champions League and we're still not gonna have the resources.
Can I just say something? I do agree with all of you. I'd rather lose so they don't. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm any different, but I'm just saying,
Amanda, listen.
Look what we've come to.
Amanda, everyone, just check this one out. Is there an opportunity where we win the Europa League and we knock them out of the position if they finish fourth of the Champions League spot?
No.
Fourth spot.
No, because there's five teams that go in.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
There is.
No, they can't. It's not. They're not.
It's four teams.
It's five teams, and it's not. Okay? It's not. We cannot knock Tottenham out of it.
I think you're wrong.
No, I'm not. I've looked into this. We cannot knock Tottenham out.
There was a permutation,
say,
wasn't
United
there?
United would have won it.
Yes.
And, or Chelsea, even if Chelsea win Europa, Chelsea. We do not get it. The French league get it. They get Champions League place. No, Tottenham are.
Look at you. You read an article.
No, because I asked the same question and 400 people sent me the answer. No, there's none of that. Could you imagine that? Oh my God. Yes.
Listen, guys, forget about the final. They can't have that day out. Are you listening? They cannot experience that day out in Madrid. They just can't, let alone think about them getting to the final to have an opportunity to. They cannot have that day out, period. And Ajax hitting the post, I swear to God, it better not come back to haunt them.
I know.
Well, I think they're going to beat Ajax, and I hate this, but I do. I think I've always loved playing the second league away from home because of the double goal option. They've only got to get one goal, and it's level. So, no, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy.
Right, I can't take this conversation anymore. Why don't we thank Kyle and move on with the rest of our lives, and let's pray for Ajax.
Yes.
I want to thank you guys.
The Dutch Cup on Sunday night. Thanks.
Thank you for having me on. A joy to vent a little bit, talk to some Arsenal brothers and sisters here. I'm going to be hopeful again. I'm going to get behind Emery. I'm
good.
All for next season. I'm always optimistic. I want those new kits. I've got two young boys. I want them to be proud of Arsenal. I want them to wear the red and white. I think it's going to be good. Look, under no illusion do I think we're going to win the league next year or maybe in 2 years, but I do see us getting into the top four once Emery acclimates, provided there is some type of support financially from our owner. And £40 million is not enough, and forcing him to gut his team to generate money to buy players that he has to replace at a higher cost is also business suicide. So, I feel for him. I hope they figure it out. I don't know how this combination is going to work. I'm going to be hopeful. Give it one more year before I complain. This form just killed me. I'm sorry if I was negative at first, but like 4 points out of 24 at a critical point.
Nah, you're all right.
Kyle,
tremendous. You're all right.
Kyle, if you ever get to London, give me a shout and you can come watch football with me.
Love it. I'm in. Thank you.
Bring the boys as well. We can
tell
all go.
Tell
wonderful.
Tell everyone where they can find your book, Kyle.
Oh, a book is everywhere. You can find it on Amazon. It's called Dungeons and Dragons, Art and Arcana. It's a history of Dungeons and Dragons. The role-playing game is a 45-year look at the brand, visuals, all types of imagery, and it's a corporate pop culture portrait, an art history portrait of fantasy art and its evolution. And just like I said, Amazon, Barnes & Noble has a special edition. It's everywhere. We're about to announce some more stuff, which is going to be exciting. So do please check it out if you're in that world and you like role-playing games and fantasy art.
Very cool. Very cool. You guys are doing a great – I think between you and Joe Manganiello, you've probably revived the Dungeons & Dragons brand. So
it's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah. Fun game.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kyle.
Yeah, it's been lovely, Kyle. Well done for being a gooner. We'll chat on Twitter.
Thank you all. I found you guys on Twitter. What a joy to get to talk to all three of you today. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Thanks to our guest, Kyle Newman. Good stuff from him, right, guys?
Absolutely. And we're going to have some really great guests over the summer. We're not going to go away, are we, Soph?
No, we're going to do some fun stuff. Lots of good football convos, some different mixing up a little bit. We'll tell you a little bit about it as the season comes to a close here. There's only one more thing to say. Amanda's got to go make some shepherd's pie. Super Kim.
Such a
nutter. I'm picturing her in an
It's the weirdest thing. Right now, that is exactly what I'm making for my son. That is the most bizarre thing ever. You don't even know that. Yes, 100,000,000%. Right, I have to go. So thanks to everyone for listening, all the tweets, all the follows. Thanks to Kev. Thanks to my podcast sister. Always Arsenal.